Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette sitting across from me, ready to break down the Mike Tomlin thing. Did you stay up for the baseball game last night?
I was
2:30 in the morning.
I was flipping back and forth between that, Chiefs Commanders, and believe it or not, Memphis, Arkansas men's basketball in an exhibition game.
Ooh, do you watch a lot of college basketball?
Not as much as I used to, but I'm still in a college basketball fantasy dynasty league, so I need to be well aware.
I want to get back into coaching basketball of some sort. Limits, can you put the call out that if anybody needs a basketball coach, fourth, fifth grade on up, that I'm available?
I thought Jason Bumbliss was going to offer you a job.
He did, but I never really followed up on that.
He's one of your good friends. How'd you not follow up?
Because a lot of things, Limits. Things got complicated. I've got a daughter who's going off to college. I didn't know how long her volleyball season was going to go. My availability became a question.
Maybe you could be a volunteer coach, that appears.
Well, most coaches at that level are pretty much volunteers anyway. I don't care about the money. I just want to coach basketball.
You should just show up to practice one day with Jason, and he'll put you to work.
Now get you an AAU team. AA me. What would Joe Starkey's AAU program be called?
The Birdnecks. That's the name of my fantasy football team, which I lost last night. It reminded me. I haven't played really serious fantasy football in years, and this isn't serious either. It's just like an ESPN.com.
I won this week, but
it came down. I was 7 points down. I had Patrick Mahomes and Pacheco, the other guy, who I don't know, obviously, it was just a random league, had Rashee Rice, and he won. He won by...
Pacheco got vultured a couple times by Kareem Hunt, who's on my team.
So that touchdown pass to Rice ruined it for me.
In my league, I beat... You remember former Pirates writer Liz Bloom from the Post-Gazette?
Yeah.
I took her down last night, knocked her down a peg.
She was congratulations.
She was in the top three in the standings, and I was not.
So. You know what we never heard about that Limits just randomly brings up during the break is... The after party, was it from Cam Hayward's celebrity softball game?
Yes.
Why didn't you ever tell this story on the air? Tell us a little bit about the...
I 100% did.
You never told me that Joe Haden asked you to punch a punching bag.
Yeah, we were at the after party. Pony was there. Callis and I were the three representatives that went from the station. I don't think that Donnie went afterwards, but it was incredible. At the arcade that we were at... Joe Haden was like, here, try to hit the punching bag. I want to see what score you get. So I did. He ultimately beat me, which was no surprise. His score was really impressive. And
the harder you punch it and the more accurately, the higher your score? Or what?
Yes. I don't think accuracy is even involved.
Just
is
hard.
Just how hard you hit punch the bag, yeah. And then me, Pony, and Chris Kirkpatrick all played duck pin of NSYNC. Chris Kirkpatrick of NSYNC played duck pin bowling that night.
Infamous Eminem lyrical victim, Chris Kirkpatrick, and Western PA native, is he not, Austin?
Yes.
That's probably why he was involved.
Yeah. And he was on Celebrity Big Brother, which you know I love Big Brother.
I wasn't here then the day that you talked about it, because I would have a memory of that, and I don't remember you saying one thing about that. You hung out with Joe Haden.
Yes, and Chris Kirkpatrick.
Those punching bag games are hilarious. I've been at what I think has to be the nation's capital for that game on Broadway in Nashville in a back room at Tootsie's. They have one of those. And
wow,
just imagine the intoxicated guys going up there with boots and cowboy hats.
Beer muscles,
on,
yeah.
Trying to punch that bag as hard as they possibly can. Sat and watched it for about an hour at my brother-in-law's bachelor party.
Sounds entertaining. I'm going to Nashville in early December. What a town. And yeah, the is there a better street in America than Broadway in Nashville? You walk in there a Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. and there's live music, and it's not bad live music.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I mean, I'm a Vegas guy too, but they're both right up there.
Limits, have you been to
Nashville?
I've
never been to New Orleans.
Never.
New Orleans either. Is unbelievable. You ever had it? Well, you've never had a New Orleans beignet straight from the source. It's like a buffalo chicken wing right from Buffalo. And everybody else can make them, but until you go to Duff's in Buffalo, you've really never had a chicken wing. Did you know that, Brian? And have you been to Duff's?
I have. I've been to Duff's. I've been to Anchor Bar.
Which is better in your humble opinion?
Well, I've had Anchor Bar a few times, and I've only had Duff's, I think, once passing through. I can't really decide, but I feel like Duff's was a little more memorable.
Yeah.
We also got the hottest sauce that they have at Duff's, which not enjoyable.
No.
But at least we could say we tried it.
All right, Limits. Back to the news conference. First, let me tell you, and Brian joins us every week to break down the Mike Tomlin news conference. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 9 matchup between the Indianapolis Colts and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. What else did you hear, Limits?
Well, I thought it was kind of fascinating. You guys brought it up a little bit earlier before we get into Terrell Austin. The Steelers only having 10 guys on the field on the two-point play. What happened, Mike?
Mike, it looks like you guys only had 10 guys on the field on that two-point attempt. How does that happen, and who's maybe in charge of making sure you got 11 out there?
Eccles was in for Slay. Eccles thought that they were going for one. I think he came off the field because he's not on field goal block, and we weren't able to get the transitional component of that. And that happens from time to time when you're rolling a lot of people. You never like it, but the reality is the more people you play, the more complex rotations are, particularly when rotations get abnormal.
What?
First of all, he keeps using this word rolling. If you're not in the NFL, like coaching or scouting world, that just means subbing, basically. And that was his answer, too, for why Eccles was playing over Slay at the end of that game.
Well, why isn't the answer to that question, we blanked up, and that is inexcusable.
That's a good point, and he almost made it sound excusable.
Like, yeah, if you had to deal with this, you might do that too.
And also, it's just very rare, I think, that he does pinpoint the one player who apparently screwed up here. I wonder why he decided to do that to this particular situation in this particular week. I don't know. And, you know, even if it was completely a brain fart by Brandon Eccles, how do you not have somebody on the sideline yelling, holding up the two like you always see coaches doing on the offensive side of the ball, holding up for him? No, stay on the field. Two, two, two.
Did that give us a window into these communication breakdowns on defense? Like, he almost basically said, listen, this gets pretty complicated. Don't like it when it happens, but it's going to happen. Well, no, it can't happen.
Why can't
you have 10 people on the field for a key two-point conversion attempt? Let me hear that again.
Yeah.
If you would.
Oh, I thought you were going to further lead into that.
Mike, it looks like you guys only had 10 guys on the field on that two-point attempt. How does that happen, and who's maybe in charge of making sure you got 11 out there?
Eccles was in for Slay. Eccles thought that they were going for one. I think he came off the field because he's not on field goal block, and we weren't able to get the transitional component of that. And that happens from time to time when you're rolling a lot of people. You never like it, but the reality is the more people you play, the more complex rotations are, particularly when rotations get abnormal.
Again, what? The transitional component? Yeah, this will happen from time to time. You know, you'll only have 7 people out there for a play, but hey, we're subbing a lot of guys in. Surely you can understand, is almost how he finished that.
And he did not answer the particular part of Will's question that was, who's responsible for making sure that doesn't happen?
Now,
need another defensive quality control coach on your staff so that the transitional component doesn't ever pop up? I don't know.
The transitional component theory. Like, what? First of all, I'm sure it happens all the time that somebody, guys get confused.
Yeah, it's not like the Steelers are the only team that's ever had 10 guys on the field.
Eccles, am I out there or not? You know, are they going for two? No, they're going, are they kicking an extra point? They're going for two. Come on off. Let's go. Let's get the, let's get our defense out there.
Brutal, but just imagine for a second Brandon Eccles looking up at the Jumbotron or whatever and seeing that the defense and the Packers offense are out there and just thinking, oh, no. That's one of those, was it Southwest? You want to get away?
Oh.
That had to be him. Mike, and then when Romeo Doubs catches the pass with nobody within
feet of him. On the screen again. Mike, you only had two defenders on the field for the losing quarterback sneak in the Super Bowl. Well, if you only knew how complicated it was, this happens from time to time. Don't worry about it. Unbelievable, Brian.
The other tentacle of this is, man, was he running Joey Porter Jr. for Darius Slay. And by that, I mean he was running interference for Darius Slay. He was asked specifically about essentially Slay getting benched. And, you know, he didn't really say he needs to play better or anything like that. He eventually got into he's been good at times. And
he damned him with some pretty faint praise, though. Somebody said, well, what do you think of Slay so far? He said, you know, he's been solid at times.
Yeah,
it's been solid at times.
But I think, yeah, well, right before that, though, he was asked about just the decision to go with Eccles over Slay.
Do you have any of that limits, the Eccles-Slay thing, or do you have a different topic? This is your world. Brian and I are just living in it.
Yeah, I want to get your guys' thoughts on Tomlin saying that the defense needs to handle adversity better.
Mike, you've got a pretty mature group, especially on defense. Should they, at this point, their careers be able to handle adversity better than they did on Sunday?
You know, sure. Our kids should do what we tell them to do, but they often don't. You know, we all fall short of perfection, man. That's why we're always working as individuals and as a collective, whether it's football or life.
I actually like that answer. That was Will Graves, the gravesdigger from the top row. He's always prefacing his questions with a little shot here and there, isn't he? And it's not, those are fair questions, but, I think they did need to handle adversity a little bit better. Cam Hayward said they weren't even fighting out there, Brian. What'd you make of that answer?
Cam said they didn't have enough fight. And then a little later in the presser, Tomlin was asked about the fight component, if you will.
Yeah.
And it kind of got into the semantics of, when we say fight, we don't necessarily mean effort. It's playmaking and supply. I'm like, no, those are two pretty different things. And fight doesn't have very many different connotations to it when you're talking in a football context. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think sometimes guys are just trying to come up with anything to tell us after these games, right? And yeah. Fans don't want to hear miscommunications. Obviously, they don't want to hear we didn't execute. They also don't want to hear we didn't fight enough. So there's really nothing you can say after a game like that. But
I think that's the last thing they want to hear, though. And I don't know if Cam knows what he did by putting that out there. That was a team that had been embarrassed in the previous game. It's the highest paid defense in football. They're playing at home on a Sunday night, and he's telling the world we didn't try hard enough. Whether he's using it as a deflection or not, that's pretty, if he didn't mean it, then that's pretty reckless to throw out there, because people are going to jump on it and look at plays like the one where Darius Slay didn't seem to be all that interested in making a tackle on a touchdown play, right?
Yeah, Savion Williams to the pylon there from the Packers.
He was Savion himself from a hit on that play, it looked like.
Yes, business decision, it looked like. But, yeah, I mean, that is going to have to be something that players probably have to answer for now the rest of this week. And
right.
It's kind of like when Tua Tagovailoa came out with the comments about lack of leadership and accountability in the Dolphins locker room. It's one thing for him to say that and be candid, but you also know you're opening up a can of worms for your teammates when it comes to the storylines that surround you. Now, if you go out there and you turn around and you find a way to beat the Colts, kind of runs off of everybody's back, but at least until then, it is going to be a subplot going into that game when you've lost two straight.
For sure. And you've been covering football for a long time. It's Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette. So you've been around a lot of coaches, and we do have a clip of Mike McDaniel talking a couple weeks ago about a meeting with his owner, Brian. I want you to tell me if you've ever heard a football coach lay out something this clearly. Limited.
He was really frustrated at the, you know, just like he was as I was, and you know, we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers, and that was kind of the extent of it.
Couldn't be much clearer than that, could he?
both guys frustrated. Chargers are up next. Let's go. Let's get to it. Let's turn this season around, Finns. I really liked Mike McDaniel.
I like when Mike they hire McDaniel.
Him. I think he's hilarious, but he's clearly in over his head.
Oh my God! Here, and imagine his halftime speech.
He's going to need a change of scenery to ever succeed as a head coach, and he might never succeed as a head coach.
But. What do you know about the Super Bowl 40 reunion this weekend?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian, what's happening over there? Other than they're all going to be laughing at the Steeler defense.
I don't know. I know Debo was dropping massive F-bombs on his show with Joe Hayden this week. So sure, he's not too happy. But all in all, that is a group that one thing that is interesting to me, and I feel like you hear this from fans a lot when things are going south for a team. Do the players care enough? Do the players...
Well, that's the Cam Hayward thing. Are they fighting enough? Do they care enough?
And that's in-game, but I think fans also, they start asking, all right, they pack up their bags, they answer a few questions from the media, they walk out of the building after the game. Do they care? Are they just happy that they got the paycheck? I wonder if guys like James Harrison and Casey Hampton and Troy Polamalu, like, was it different back then? I mean, has anything fundamentally changed in...
I don't know, but by the end of his career, James Harrison was sleeping in meetings and leaving games at halftime. So,
and he's sitting there belting out that guys need to respect the name on the back of their jersey on Sunday night football and play for their. So it is just one of those cyclical things. I mean, you always feel that way once. I think a lot of these former players put on the fan hat once they retire. And you're kind of like you're rubbing elbows with all the people who watched you and criticized you for years when you
exactly. Well, so. The first voice you'll hear on this little gem is Joe Hayden. And then James Harrison loses his mind as they talk about this team.
They're not playing at a high level. Do you know what I'm saying? Like something they have to perform better. They have to.
How you don't get up for Sunday night football if you can't get up for nothing else? Ain't nothing else on but you at home in front of your family, your kids.
I would not.
Make that name on your back mean something.
Right after that limit, if you would keep it rolling, he tells Joe Hayden tries to like
here it is. It wasn't me not performing. I'm just trying to let you know. That's why I'm like you said. I think I could be like your counselor, bro. Because it's okay. It's all gonna be okay. Everything's still gonna be okay.
Joe, you came from a line of losers. Y'all will always be losers.
Damn, now you being disrespectful. I'm trying to. I'm trying to just be here for you.
That was a personal attack. It's not about you, Debo.
It's not a personal attack, but you did come from a long line of losers.
Poor Joe Hayden is catching shrapnel from the imploding Steelers secondary years after leaving the team.
Exactly.
Oh, that's rough. But I do think also you look at this Steelers team, and it was especially stark compared to the Packers team across the way. We know there's not a ton of homegrown guys in this franchise anymore because the drafting and the developing or both has been so mediocre in the last several years that you're going out and bringing in outsiders like Jalen Ramsey and Darius Slay and Juan Thornhill and Chuck Clark. And you hope these guys are bought in and care as much as Cam Hayward and TJ Watt. But how can you really when those two have been only in the Steelers helmet and they've only been with this team for as long as they've known the NFL and they've been just dying to win a playoff game and they haven't done it. So I think Mike Tomlin talks about that a lot about, hey, why don't we, when you bring in free agents or you make trades, you don't necessarily know the guy, you aren't familiar with the guy, you hope he fits into everything you're trying to do, but who knows?
No, that's a good point.
And the Packers are the youngest team in the league. I mean, they're crushing drafts.
Right.
Most of those guys playing were drafted and developed by Green Bay.
And you looked at the Seattle sideline when Renegade played, for example, and those guys were going wild when they were here on their sideline. Do you remember that?
You want to get into the Renegade discussion?
I want to in a minute, yes. I want to in a minute. Tomlin has spoken about that. And it was after, I don't know if you have this, I remember we played this one day, Limits. It was after Melvin Ingram blatantly quit on the team.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of too.
That Mike Tomlin went to the podium and said, yeah, that's why we build from within around
here.
Yeah,
like preferring to do business with the guys that we know and got to know in the draft process and things of that nature. Now, he did get to know Jalen Ramsey and people like that in the pre-draft process.
Sure, but it's not the same. It's not the same. Yeah. I don't think it's a bad way to build a team, but I think their preferred method used to be, whether it was based on sound reasoning or not, yeah, let's build from within and get everybody cultured.
It helps
to,
your salary
to
cap too
them.
When you've got guys on rookie deals who are excelling for sure.
We're the Steelers. We draft our own, we culture our own, we build our own, and that is absolutely not what they are anymore because of what you said. They didn't do a good job of drafting their own.
So now you're trying to piecemeal it, put patches on holes on the ship, and it looks good at times, like against little Dylan Gabriel and the Browns.
Right.
It doesn't look good other times.
Do you have either Tomlin or Crowley's rant on Renegade? Either one of those would do Limits. Do you have either?
I do have what Crowley had to say. He is very, very tired of listening to the song, Joe.
Well, this comes off to a question in the old mailbag this week, Brian, where I had someone who said, that's it for Renegade. Let me try to find this. And I think a lot of people, here he is, his name's Simmer, Global Simmer, he calls himself. Let's please retire Renegade. It's overused and overplayed. It provides no spark and has in the past only made the opponent fired up, says Global Simmer. And even before he asked that question, our very own Adam Crowley, who's on a roll this week, I might add, he's seeing the keys. He is on a Austin Reeves type, a Victor Wembanyama type role right now. Let's listen to him on Renegade from Monday.
This loss is made worse because it compounds all the issues that they had in the Cincinnati loss. They lost the same game twice. They need to retire Renegade too, Harry. I'm sick and tired of Renegade. You can't stop a nosebleed. Wisconsin's got the cheese heads. Maybe it's Swiss cheese because that's what the Steelers defense looked like last night. And they played Renegade with 12 minutes left. In the game, in the first play that's run after Renegade is a 12-yard run.
The jig is up. The Steelers suck. They can't stop cardboard. Yes. You like that song better?
I like it. I hate it, but I like it. I'm sick of Renegade. All the hard hits, all the highlights. Can't play anything from this season. I tweeted it out. There's a montage of all the Packers' touchdowns and some of the big plays that they made last night. If the Steelers were a two-hand touch football team, they'd be an elite defense.
I didn't think Harry was going to pop in there.
He did, yes.
If I'd known that, I might have nixed the clip before it ever started, but that was good.
I know it's a common term, but when's the last time you had a nosebleed? Those aren't that easy to stop.
I know.
Those are actually quite pesky
and
annoying.
I actually get them frequently.
Pesky. Are they easy to stop, Limits?
Sometimes.
Do you agree?
Because
do you agree?
All the times, like my sinuses will bother me or... I'm dehydrated and I'll get a nosebleed, yeah.
You can be very sickly at times. Things seem to affect you deeply.
Yeah. The weather has kind of messed with me a little bit this week as well.
There are a lot of fans, though, that still come to these games and expect to hear Renegade. You might be a Steelers fan who lives in Montana. You come to one game a year. You're looking forward to twirling your towel to the tune of Sticks.
Should it be retired or no?
For years. No, I'm not there. I also just don't really care. It's not like a song actually has a profound impact one way or the other. It's more about getting the crowd foaming at the mouth, I think, and you know, actually being audibly loud enough to get the opposing offense on a silent count, force a delay of game, force a false start, something along those lines. Doesn't really matter how you get there as long as you can impact home field advantage that way.
Limits, I agree with every syllable and half syllable Brian just uttered. I don't think it should be retired. Keep playing it. He's right. People, when they come from out of town, or I think just Steeler fans in general, want to hear Renegade. I could be wrong. 412-928-9370. but I think people really want to hear it.
They do.
When the team's playing poorly, everything stinks.
Yes.
We know that. Yeah.
They do, but like when I've gone to two games so far this year. I'm probably going to go to the Colts game. I don't get fired up when I hear Renegade anymore because I don't have enough confidence that the defense is actually going to make a stop. Like there used to be a
war. Well, then this is half your fault. You should get fired up when you go to the games. Do you cheer? Do you cheer the team on?
Yeah, I cheer.
Well, why don't you cheer during Renegade? You've already given up.
Smack the seat in front of you.
You don't have to fight. You're what Cam Hayward's talking about.
Bring a cowbell.
You know what? You're spoiled. Maybe I'm spoiled because going to games growing up, I would hear Renegade and James Harrison would go smack somebody in the mouth or Troy Polamalu would make a big play. Now, I don't have confidence that after they play it, because of the results of the last however many times they've played the song, that they're actually going to stop anybody. And that's what takes some of the lore and luster away.
Well, what would a new song be for you guys? Brian?
Freebird.
Freebird, maybe? Something from Peter, Paul, and Mary?
Haven't given it a ton of thought.
If I Had a Hammer?
Haven't given it a ton of thought.
What about Black and Yellow?
Well, I'm sure they play that during games.
I think it's become as intertwined with the Steelers. Well, not quite, but it's like the terrible towel in that it's associated with the Steelers and they love it.
Also, do you know how difficult it is to get, let's say, 6 people on board with one song choice or musical genre, let alone 66,000 of them?
Right.
Changing the song would be fraught with peril, I think, when you look at the melting pot of people who go to these games.
I think Wiz Khalifa and Snoop should just come up with a song together that they make specifically for the Steelers.
What if we just played the original fan theme song from Joe Grushecki at that point in the fourth quarter? Do you have that?
I don't. Or they play
somewhere in there if you want to find it. Here.
Or they play the Steeler polka. I love the Steeler polka.
Okay, I'll go with
games.
That, Brian.
That'll get fans up and out of their seats.
What about Sweet Caroline?
Hate it.
You like Neil Diamond in general?
Not really.
His slower stuff, Song Sung Blue, Gitchy Goomy, anything like that?
Never heard them, but probably wouldn't like them.
Can I make a point about Sweet Caroline for a second?
Please.
I was at the Pitt volleyball game against Penn State last year, and there was a Penn State fan behind me that says, "This is our song. They play it at our stadium." And I'm looking at the guy, and I said, "No, Pitt plays it here. That is Pitt's song for college football. It is no
Penn
one
State
else's.
Plays it for volleyball.
Penn
or football?
State plays it for both. At
they
football
do for football.
And they do for
like
football.
8,000 teams play Sweet Caroline. When
I hear Sweet
it's
Caroline,
it's a sing-along song.
I think of Pitt football and I think of Boston Red Sox baseball.
Try to find Joe Grushecki's original theme where he talks about Filippiani and Mueller.
Even though I went to Pitt, I think Country Roads probably clears all these songs in terms of fun stadium sing. I mean, Renegade's not really a sing along. That's more of just a Limits said,
"Pump
you're watching,
me up."
Yeah, you're watching the highlights and
right.
I don't know. I mean, they could put Jalen Ramsey's week one hit against the Jets on there for this season's highlights. Dylan Gabriel, I'm sure he got popped. How about Mike Tomlin bringing up too that they didn't get any takeaways from Dylan Gabriel in the Browns game? It didn't matter. I couldn't care less that they didn't pick off any of those passes.
Right.
That was like playing out in the street.
Yeah, they
with
broke
the little with the little neighbor kids, and you just don't catch the ball so that there's no interception, but you simply bat it down to keep their self-esteem up a little bit. It didn't matter. It's these last two games that matter that you couldn't get a takeaway because you also can't stop teams from moving the ball fluidly.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Pony Pierce's Cancer. Proceeds benefit McGee Women's Research Institute and Foundation. Tomorrow, Mike's Beer Bar. Registration, 5 p.m. Event, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Ticket price, $33, includes appetizers and a commemorative T-shirt. And the piercing is provided by the Gilded Violet Piercing. And it'll take the actual piercing of Pony's nipples is at 7:30. Brian, I don't know if you had any plans.
My son has karate.
Okay.
Tomorrow night.
Fair enough. There will be a cash raffle with all proceeds to go to charity. Pony Pierce's Cancer is brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel, South Hills Kia, and South Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Hampton Beer Outlet, and Cheerleaders. That's going to be quite an event. Limits.
I'm excited, Joe. I think we should go tomorrow. I'm definitely going to go.
Do you think Marquez Valdes-Scantling will be there?
He may. He's got nothing else to do. He's only on the practice squad right now, right?
He's not anywhere right now.
Oh, they didn't sign him? I thought they were signing him.
Well, Tomlin said today, if it happens, we'll hear about it.
We have news. The Steelers are signing safety Derek Forrest to their practice squad, per a source.
Can he see the forest for the trees?
Very good.
I think
very good.
Oh, this is a
if
good.
If he's in the Steelers secondary, he probably
all
can't.
Right. I'm going OK State. Am I right? Where is he from? Cincinnati.
I have never heard of Derek Forrest until I said his name 3 seconds ago.
Well, they worked out Von Bell today and Eddie Jackson. Von Bell always he's infamous in Steeler lore for that game in Cincinnati when Juju was doing the Corvette TikToks at pregame. And he did it in Cincinnati. And Von Bell just detonated him, forced a fumble, and the Steelers lost to Ryan Finley, I believe.
I was there.
He went to Cincinnati. Very good, Brian.
Very good.
All right, that
Brian.
Was my second.
He was a
guess.
Bearcat.
Half credit.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.